Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm pleased to have back Marie Jones, who is the author, along with Larry Flaxman, of 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomena, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. How are you doing, Marie?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Last time we were discussing a lot of other very interesting things, and you mentioned that you had this book. This book was written in, what year was this book written in?
You know what? It was the very first book that Larry and I wrote when we decided to become writing partners, so it was...
Right. 2009?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that a lot of the research behind this book came from your own, both of you were having experiences seeing the 1111 time prompts, as were many other people.
Right.
But can you tell me circumstances, any other circumstances leading up to it, other than just the fact that it seemed to be something that a lot of the people were experiencing?
Well, here's the interesting thing. When Larry and I decided to start writing together, we pitched to my publisher, New Page Books, a completely different book, which later became our second book, The Resonance Key. Now, it was our publisher, Michael Pye, who came to us and said, you know, why don't you guys look into this 1111 phenomenon? And Larry and I called each other like, what? Huh? What? We had never even heard of it.
Really?
And as tuned in as we are, you think we would have. Probably something that we noticed, but because we weren't specifically focused on that at the time, we just sort of ran over it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we thought, okay, let's look into this and see if there's a book in this. And the more we looked into it, the more amazed we were, not just by how many people were having time prompts, but the link between 1111 and the 2012 enigma. And then also from there, it just sort of morphed into an exploration of numbers and mathematics and how important number is to reality, to the structure of reality.
To the theory of everything.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, Pythagoras was right when he said all is number. Everything seems to be able to be boiled down to some mathematical ratio, whether we understand it or not. Somebody does. These mathematicians
mm-hmm.
with these brilliant minds. But, you know, their idea is that everything should be boiled down to number in some way, and that is the language of the universe.
Mm-hmm. The thing that really got my attention is under doorways, where Solera is suggesting that 1111 is a pre-encoded trigger placed within our cellular memory banks prior to our descent into matter, which,
right.
when activated, signifies our time of completion is near. The 1111 is hereby being activated. And we can, she goes on to say that the doorway of 1111 opens once and closes once. Only one may pass through. This one is our unified presence. The many is one. The 1111 opened on January 11th, 1992, and closes on December 31st, 2011.
Right, right. And I think a lot of people really feel like that's what they're in right now. There's a lot of discussion of feeling, you know, people can't really put their finger on what's happening to them and what's happening in the world collectively.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there is a shift. A lot of us, when we talk about it amongst ourselves, that word always seems to come up. There's some kind of paradigm shift going on. And
yep.
perhaps it has absolutely nothing to do with 2012. The link between 1111 and 2012 is very simple, in that the Naval Observatory's atomic clock has pinpointed the moment that the Mayan calendar, long count calendar end date, which of course is controversial in and of itself, which is December 21st, 2012, begins at 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where a lot of the symbolism behind the 11:11 time prompts has come from. But it's really interesting because even if you don't buy into that, I think you can still admit to feeling that there is a shift going on. A lot of the old paradigms are crumbling, yet, you know, a lot of people are still hanging on to them, trying to make them work no matter what, no matter what the consequences.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But, you know, in my own life, I was guided to step out of plastic surgery and go into a spiritual retreat kind of thing for 5 months, studying with a group of clairvoyants and meditating long hours, becoming vegetarian, you know, just a lot of the things that you would anticipate with that kind of a discipline. And during that time, an awakening occurred, and after 92, I really had a great deal of understanding of 1111 because of that awakening.
Right.
I mean, I think that the 1111 time prompts occur to people who have been activated.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you haven't been activated, you're not able to have your attention directed during
the
time.
You won't notice it. You won't notice it.
Yeah, you're just asleep.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of what Buddha said. I'm not, you know, any different than you. I'm just awake.
Wake up. And,
up.
You know, the funny thing is that I've heard a similar story to yours from a lot of people where they've had a sort of reawakening and left behind something that they were doing or a career or even a relationship and just completely changed focus. And
sometimes
yet,
everything. Carolyn May says to make that shift from what she says horizontal to vertical, you have to either lose everything you have or think you're going to lose everything you have.
Right. It's almost like, you know, with an alcoholic or an addict where they have to hit bottom before they'll make change.
Yeah.
Perhaps this is a more metaphysical way of hitting bottom. But what's really interesting is a lot of people feel like, you know, there's still that resistance and fear where you're so afraid of the unknown, even though you kind of intuitively feel like, oh, this is going to be really good. But we're still in resistance. And I think when you say a lot of people don't yet notice the time prompts, the funny thing is after Larry and I started to write the book, we began to notice them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I can be the brain just doing what it does, looking for pattern and creating habitual patterns. But we also started to feel like there was something going on. And to this day, whenever I see 1111, I just feel uplifted. It may only last for a minute, but it is an uplift. And in that moment, I can do anything I want. You know, I can use that as inspiration or motivation to do something greater. But I notice a lot of people just want to resist this shift for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of fear. You know, the shift may very well take on a form where the fabric of space-time changes.
Yeah.
And that's got to be scary.
It is, right.
I mean, think about it.
What are we
going to
do?
Well, David Wilcox presented a whole day of information at the Truth Convention in Atlanta, and a lot of what he had to say really helped explain a lot of this in my mind. Basically, David said that there's a lot of evidence that we live in space-time. There's three dimensions of space, and then time appears linear. But he says there's actually something called time-space right on the other side, you know, where you might call the fourth dimension, you might say that's where discarnate or people having left the body are. But in that dimension, time, there's three dimensions of time, and then maybe space appears linear, which is interesting. But that if you understand that if a lot of energy comes into a system, either because of a spiritual experience or what I think is happening when this 1111 prompt occurs, you're getting more energy. That's kind of like an energy infusion. That's why you feel the way you do.
Right.
But when enough energy is added to the system, David says that our mass doesn't increase like Einstein said. It actually decreases, and we can pop into time-space. When we pop into time-space, we can do things like we see Chris Angel and some of the other magicians doing that, where they actually are levitating or walking on water. Because at that time, you are lighter than, you're very light, because much of your mass is in time-space. And that's how David said they moved the big pyramid stones and you know, all the big stones. They would use a device called a sonar where you blow into it. It would put much of the mass into time-space, and then you could just sort of direct them around. You know, you could just, like balloons almost. And there's a lot of evidence for that, including other people who've actually done it. There was a guy in Florida that did it recently. He's not alive now, but a lot of evidence of that really is can still be done. So essentially, if we are in this dance between space-time and time-space, And, you know, we're getting messages from the other side. And more frequently, people are seeing things from the other side.
Definitely.
I mean, it's way more common now than it was even in 2009.
It's mainstream.
That's right. So, you know, if all of these things are happening, I would say that we need to look at the relationship between space-time and time-space and what's happening there. And then perhaps where we're going really doesn't have a fabric to it that we're used to.
Right.
You know, we,
right.
If we're truly going toward the fifth dimension, you know, that's outside of space-time, third dimension, time-space, fourth dimension, and then, you know, whatever you imagine fifth dimension to be. And so that's pretty exciting.
And I think it's certainly not something that you can really prepare for in advance, other than spiritually and metaphysically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, science is still trying to catch up to figuring out what's going on in our reality. And we lean on science, and we should. Science is, mm-hmm. is always really there to just try to explain how things work and the structure of things.
Well,
but when we sense that there's all this other stuff going on and we don't really understand it, I think it makes a lot of people nervous, and so they back away from the experience.
It does. It does.
Right.
But, you know, you can ask questions about it. And
mm-hmm.
We've been having weekly meditation groups for, I don't know how many years, probably 16 years. And, you know, so we ask questions, right? And this is always a topic of interest to people. And so we ask Spirit, what will it be like? And they said, well, many of you will be dizzy and nauseated.
Oh, great. Well, like we're not all right.
You know, no, but what's interesting is lately there have been people in situations where they're near what we call a vortex. You know what the
right.
vortex is.
Uh-huh.
It's where they're these things are connected more intimately. And for no reason whatsoever, everybody in that area suddenly becomes dizzy and nauseated.
Oh,
it lasts
boy.
For a few minutes, but then it goes away.
Right.
And I'm going, wait a minute, you know, we are actually in this energy stream.
And your body is trying to assimilate into it.
And
it's like, whoa.
I'm not talking about everybody being true believers like me. I'm talking about people who know nothing about this.
Right.
And we're standing right next to each other, and we're all dizzy and nauseated, and we look at each other, and then it passes, thank goodness. But, you know, this is happening now. And
right.
I imagine it's happening in more than just, you know, the area I know about, which just happens to be in my office.
Right.
And it's hooked into a vortex. It's hooked into
whatever,
you know.
Yeah.
So
people are feeling that different energy, but they're not quite sure how to handle it.
It's just higher energy.
And maybe, as you said, because it's so fleeting, it's in order to get us used to it. I mean, can you imagine if that shift took place all at once? We'd go insane,
right.
or we would just drop dead.
Yeah. Or we couldn't get off the floor.
Right, right. So we get little bits and pieces until we feel like, okay, now I can go to the next level. And then
right. And you're not so afraid because you go through it once, and the second time it hits you, oh, this will be over in a minute, and it is, you know.
Right.
But,
and eventually the body probably just stops feeling dizzy and nauseated because, you know, maybe there's something in our DNA, the uncoded DNA, the junk DNA,
right.
that is activated in increments, and each time
I think it is.
I
really believe it is. Many of us are feeling a shaking going on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at night, especially around 3 o'clock, you know, a lot of things happen at 3 o'clock, and you know, we used to always wake up at 3 o'clock, and many of us would go to the refrigerator, we put on weight, some of us would get up and meditate, and then we go back to
right.
bed, not put on weight, you know, what you do with it depends on what you know.
Exactly.
But
don't
many,
get out of
many
it.
People for years were woken up at 3 o'clock.
Mine is 3:33, and it always
there you
has
go.
Been. Even
there
before
you.
We wrote 11:11,
right.
it was 3:33.
Yeah, well, that's significant. But now many of us are getting these vibrations that are very strange. And
that's funny you should say that.
And I really think they're hooked to the awakening.
I posted on Facebook one day that, and I've had this problem for probably about a year, that every now and then I get a buzzing up my foot, up my leg, or you know, the other one. Yeah, but there's no reason for it. I'm not always sitting in the same place. I'm not always sitting. I've been to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with me. And I had so many people respond, oh, I'm getting that too. And I hear that it's energy that's coming up and being activated. And I've never thought of it that way. And that sounds exactly like what you might be describing.
Yeah, I think that we are having activation of, you know, whether it be our DNA, whether it be higher dimensional aspects of ourselves. I think that this is a very exciting time to be alive. I mean, I've read a lot of different sources, including I interviewed the author of The Keys to Soul Evolution, which is the seventh dimensional view of what the ascension will look like, which is actually probably the best view,
right?
Because it's outside of all of the dimensions that are being involved, you know. If you want to actually find out what's happening, you know, look from a higher dimension. And then even a very strange book, which is called Alien Mind, there's even a thing in there about an alien saying to these people, what's coming up is a remarkable thing that you have never experienced and will just be amazing.
Right, and not so fearful. And yet we've got this apocalyptic wave going on again, especially with 2012 coming. It's so weird how there's sort of three groups of people, the ones that believe in the transformation, it's going to be a positive, beneficial shift, the ones who think it's going to be the end of the world, and they're just immersed in fear, and then the ones that don't have a clue, and they're not thinking about it. It's
well,
business
there's,
as
your,
usual,
there's your triad,
you know?
Which is
exactly.
Always, any creation has 3 points. You know?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
and it's hard because, you know, when you are part of one group, you really have a hard time seeing the perspective of the other two.
Right. Well, I actually believe that there will be two different realities emerging out of this, and probably the ones that don't know anything or don't want to know anything are just procrastinators, you know. They'll figure it out at the last minute.
Yeah.
Which is, how many of us are filing our taxes, you know, like...
That's right, the procrastinating group.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go.
But I really believe that there will be, you know, the end of the world scenario will become a reality. I mean, I really believe that that will become a reality for those who are on that trajectory.
Right.
And I really believe that another trajectory that others of us are on, we're not sure where we're going.
We're sort of open.
Yeah, I mean,
if the Earth
is truly ascending, and there will be a third dimensional and a fifth dimensional Earth, as we know can occur from metaphysics, what we heard in session was that some of the buildings are going with us, you know, because the Earth is ascending, but then some aren't. Think about that.
Huh.
Some buildings will not be there. Isn't that interesting?
As long as Mother Nature goes.
Oh, Mother Nature's
going.
As long
going.
As she
I mean, comes
yeah,
up,
yeah.
up. Yeah.
I'm not so much interested in the physicality.
I think I
understand that. What I want to know is what's going to happen to time-space.
Exactly. I mean, think a lot of people are feeling this weird acceleration of time, or they're just having a really difficult time grasping the concept of time in their lives right now. You know, I certainly hear that. I mean... People always say, oh, there's just never enough time, and it speeds up as you get older. But I think
it's
now I'm hearing
anyway.
It from young people. And our perception of time is shifting drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the clock may still tick at the same rate, and a day still goes by in 24 hours, our perception of it is shifting. It's as if we're being opened up to a different reality of time, and the linear time reality is going to be left behind.
Yeah, and I think maybe the linear time reality was actually something that was not true to the nature of who we are.
Right.
Because we have other cultures, you know, the Aborigines and many of the more primitive societies did not function under linear time.
Right.
And you know, the thing about dream time, like in the dream state, there is physicality. You see what I mean?
Right.
Things, you know, you walk down paths, you drive cars, you know, but at the same time, you can also transverse things very quickly. And I have a feeling that that's actually more closer to true reality.
Yeah.
That when you think about China or think about being in China, you can actually go there, you know. Your thought directs you more than the... It's almost like the third dimension has limitations. There's huge limitations everywhere.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't create right away. You know,
no.
You can't create right away.
Right,
so
exactly. Manifestation
people,
takes time.
Right. So people who don't have control over their thought processes are better off here because they could create the negative and
oh my gosh,
those,
could you
know,
imagine
problems.
If there was instantaneous
yeah.
manifestation, the insanity for emotion, you know, people
oh,
that
yeah.
don't control their emotions
oh, yeah.
or their impulses. And,
they'd kill people, you know, just they'd
yeah.
get mad and kill them. And there was a story, one of my friends told me, there was a group that was taking monoatomic gold, which evidently speeds up certain things. And in some, I don't know whether it's true, but some people say it's anti-aging as well. But anyway, they were taking this, and they started creating very quickly, and they had to back off.
Oh, my gosh.
yeah. so maybe, you know, maybe in eternity or in the fifth dimension where we don't die, you know,
right.
I mean, we are eternal, perhaps we have to have a certain level of spiritual discipline and awareness in order to not do harmful things with our creative abilities.
Right, right. And I kind of think that's what we're learning here. This is our
mm-hmm.
big lesson. Your
yeah.
thoughts have power. They have the power to make you sick. They have the power to bring nothing but misery
right.
into your life. Your words have power. They not
right.
only affect you, but they affect other people, either
yeah.
positively or negatively.
Right.
I think a lot of people are finally getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the next step is, well, how do I work with that? How do I learn to control it? And that's the I think that's what's happening right
yeah.
now is there's that need for people who can help others figure that out. It's like, okay, I understand my thoughts have power, they have energy, but how do I control them? What
mm-hmm.
what tips and techniques can I use?
Well, you know, it's similar to the plan set out by a lot of the master yogis and the masters, the great avatars and the great teachers that have come down.
Right.
You know, first you can control the physical. You have to be able to fast, be able to abstain from sex, be able to, you know, just control these desires. Not that you have to live your whole life that way, but if you need to do that, you have to be able to do
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Then you control the emotional level. You know, when you get mad, you don't have a temper tantrum, you know. You figure out how to get rid of that energy without having it, you know, blow walls apart. And then mental. You do learn to control your thoughts. What's meditation other than sitting there and not thinking, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
which is so hard for a lot of people to do.
Exactly. Well, you know, they're not there yet. Everybody's in a different grade. You
right.
know? And so I think it's graduation. I mean, a lot of the great beings that have communicated to us say that this is graduation.
Yeah.
And graduation means that those of you who have not yet figured out how to do that or are trying to gain power through, you know, things that aren't so great, you know,
right.
You're just going to have to recycle, and maybe all the underground bases you bought that you built, you know, to save yourself, maybe you're going to have to go live in them, you know?
And, it's right, like, it's like going
you
back
know, to
school.
Maybe you're
going
to have to live out that reality. Whereas
go.
The rest of us who aren't building underground bases, who aren't, you know, really too worried about what's going to happen because we figure, you know, we'll be fine because we've always been fine,
right.
are more doing our spiritual awareness, our practicing, you know, tuning in to our guidance and learning about things like the 1111 time phenomena book and, you know, learning about all the things that are important.
Right, and I think a lot of people, like you said, once they graduate, say, you know, graduate from high school, some people,
yeah.
that's it. That's all the education they feel they want. And others decide they're going to go off to college. They're going to keep learning, keep growing. And I think synchronicity begins to play a big role in that, is that when you're open and willing to continue to go to the next level,
mm-hmm.
the universe will provide you with little synchronicities to help you along
right.
the way, books
yeah.
that fall into your lap or somebody emails with some information that just
mm-hmm.
changes your whole perspective. And but you have to be open to that, and I think a lot of people are just so distracted with everything going on around them, and technology mainly,
yeah.
and the media.
Yeah. Well, Yogi Bhajan said this is a time of keeping up, and what that means is knowing how to multitask, obviously.
Yeah.
this becomes important. And also know what is the most important thing. I don't know about you, but when I first wake up in the morning,
uh-huh.
I pay very close attention to those first few instructions I get.
Yeah.
They're very
yeah.
important.
If you just jump out of bed and rush to the computer
no,
and get
no,
working,
you just,
you're missing
you,
the
You need
the
a few minutes in the morning when you are closest to your supra and subconscious,
right.
your entire being, for to know what's important. Because
right.
you know what? Logically, we don't know.
No, this is not an intellectual thing.
No.
We'll never figure it out that way.
We don't have enough information logically to know what's right.
Right.
Now, I mean, if you want to take a small problem in your life and look at it logically, that's fine.
Right.
But of all the things coming at you in one day, you better know what is most important to deal with.
Right.
And that's what that first, and then many people say that, and I think this is true too, that before you go to bed, spending 5 or 10 minutes in a meditative state so that important information can come to you is important as well.
And cleaning out all the negativity of the day.
Yeah,
that you've
releasing it daily rather than letting it build up and cause disease.
Right, because you just carry it over with you to the next day, sort
right,
of roll
yeah.
over like your phone minutes, you know. They keep rolling over. But I agree, and I think intuition is something that we have shunned as a society because there's no scientific way to prove it. Yet we all know it works, and we all know that when we don't listen to it, we usually get into some trouble. And yet we still fall back into those old habits of thinking that the intellect and the mind and the brain know better than those little whispers that we get. Because we may not really understand where those whispers come from. I think people...
What?
You know,
I think I have an idea. You want me
uh-huh.
to tell you what it is?
Absolutely.
This came to me. Well, you know, I meditated about this interview because I've been looking forward to it. And this is what I got. The intuitions are coming from time-space. Because over there, you know how many societies thought that your dead relatives were real important?
Right. Oh,
turns
yeah.
out they may be.
Yeah, they may be yelling
know?
From
they
across
really
the
may
void.
Be. Because in time-space, they can, if, this is David Wilcox's information, not mine, but he says if you travel west, you go backward in time. If you travel east, you go forward in time. Or it might be the other way around, but it doesn't matter. The idea is that time is what you travel through, not space.
Hmm.
Well, guess what? Your dead relatives can look ahead and see some event that's going to happen 2 weeks from now and give you little clues about it. You
right.
know, like maybe you don't want to go on that trip, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. So, they can't communicate like, you know, I mean, like typing on a computer to you, although that has happened.
That may be in the more advanced realm.
Actually, it can.
We'll get the direct messages,
yeah,
the emails.
Exactly. You can get the direct message if you don't listen to the tiny whispers. But I think that, and it's not just your dead relatives, obviously. It's your guardian angels, your guides, you know, all the higher dimensional beings that are here to help you. But first, you have to understand you have a spiritual protection team and that you need to communicate with them or find ways to communicate with them if safety is an issue. And I believe most everybody would agree right now, from now until the next, I don't know, 10 years probably, safety is an issue.
Right.
You know, we are less safe than we have been just because of the economic collapse, the if you travel abroad, you know, the idea of going to Egypt, you know, it might not be as safe now as it was 10 years ago, you know. It's just safety is an issue that is more, presents more to everybody. And it may get even more so as things start to fall apart in other ways. So,
I think it's going to get scary.
Yeah.
Downright scary.
That's why I want everybody to understand they have a spiritual protection team.
Yeah.
And learn to communicate with it. And they communicate through these time prompts, you know.
Right. We have to understand there's a whole different language to the other
yeah.
side of things. And whether somebody believes that it's God telling them what to do or the universe or their higher power or their guardian angel, those messages, they affect the subconscious. They go to the
mm-hmm.
heart. They don't go right to the brain. But we're
yeah.
so used to getting brain messages from the information that's around us,
right.
that we don't know how to tap into that other stuff. But
yeah.
I think people are starting to realize, I cannot rely on what my brain tells me. I cannot rely on what my five senses tell me. There's something else going on that those parts of me just can't perceive.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, you know, the whole thing about those of us who are on this path of activation, you know, I think we need to share our experiences and I know, like, magnesium is very important, for example. I had a roommate who was a psychic. He was in one of the top 100 psychics book things, and he had a dream that he had to come down and ask me what he needed. So he came down the stairs from the upstairs, and he said, "I had this dream, and I needed to ask you what I needed." I looked at him. I said, "Magnesium."
Wow.
Because, you know, think about this. He's incredibly psychic, so he could hear magnesium, right? But instead, he just told to come ask me what he needs. It's kind of funny. It's hilarious, isn't it?
Well, you know, our bodies probably send us all kinds of signals, and look how we ignore them.
Yeah.
Until it kills us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just we're so not used to the unseen information. Mm-hmm. And it's there. I think we all intuitively know that it's there. But if it's not three-dimensional in our face, something that we can touch, we don't buy it. We don't fully believe it. We question it. We mm-hmm. ignore it. We decide, well, I can't pay attention to that right now because I've got this right in front of my face to deal with. And I could only imagine, because I know in my life, every time that I've gone against, whether it's gut instinct, intuition, whatever you want to call it, I have suffered for it. And but I kind of have taught myself now to hopefully catch myself, and things get better. I can only imagine, though, what it's like for someone who consistently ignores that intuition. What kind of lessons that they're going to have to keep learning over and over again. Each time, you know, the universe will hit you over the head harder each time until you get the lesson. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a story that that was interesting. Yeah, I was a trauma surgeon for a long time, covering six ERs, and I got called in. Actually, I got called in because another plastic surgeon wouldn't answer his pager. So I got called in at 5:30 in the morning. I walk in, and this woman is sitting there just with glass cuts all over her.
Oh my God!
I mean, just, you know, bleeding, and you know, just looking something like from something out of a horror movie. And the story was that she had gone to Waffle House at 3 in the morning, and somehow an argument ensued with an employee of Waffle House, and allegedly this employee had taken the condiment tray and broken it over her head.
Oh, no.
So the first thing I do after I hear the story from the nurse is I go, didn't something tell you not to go to the Waffle House?
Yeah.
And this is what she said. She said, yeah.
Oh.
I said, well, why'd you go?
Exactly.
And she said, because my friends wanted me to.
Yeah. Oh,
now, isn't that a beautiful, beautiful story about, okay, so you had this really strong guidance, internal guidance, don't
right.
go to the Waffle House, but no, I'm going to do what my friends want.
because I think we're such people pleasers, and we don't want anybody to make fun of us if we say, well,
and there was no alcohol, no drugs. We're not talking, you know, alcohol and drugs are dangerous primarily because you don't hear the inner voice.
Oh, yeah, they block out everything.
That's why they're called spirits. That's what, you know, they go against spirits on the other in time space. And that's really why drinking and driving is so dangerous, is that you don't slow down before you go around that corner.
Yeah, your reactions, your reflexes,
your spiritual and your intuitive things are affected.
Right.
And then you can have really bad things attracted to you too.
It's like you hear those stories of people who say they had a feeling they shouldn't have gotten on this plane and they didn't,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the plane crashed. And
right.
people say, well, that doesn't happen very often. But I think it does. We just don't pay attention because we're rushing around trying to get to the next place that we need to be. And then when something happens, we may think back, oh, isn't that funny how right before I left the house I got that weird feeling like maybe I should stay home today.
Well, my spiritual protection team has a phrase, and it's called absolutely not. Okay, let me tell you a story. I was on my way down to DeKalb Medical Center where there was a car accident patient. And, well, you know, when you go in to the ER with a car accident, they have to do a bunch of stuff before you ever can go to surgery.
Right,
okay, so
exactly.
This patient had facial fractures or lacerations or both or whatever. And so he's in CAT scan. This is going to take a while. So I'm almost out of gas. So there's a Quick Trip, and Quick Trip has good prices on gas, as you know. So I was going to go into Quick Trip and get filled up before I got to the ER. And guess what? it says, the inner voice says, absolutely not. So I figure, well, maybe the guy's going to start choking on blood, or, you know, because sometimes they do need us before we go into surgery.
Right.
Sometimes there's some things that only surgeons can handle. So, okay, well, I go in, but nothing like that. You know, I sit around, I do this, I do all these other things just waiting to get him to the surgery. We go to surgery, sew him up, I drive back out, pass the Quick Trip, and there are 7 police cars and all this tape around the whole thing. Well, what happened, and it would have happened right when I was there, a woman was taking her husband, who was a psychiatric patient, to the ER, the psychiatric ER, because he was not doing well. And he reached in, got the gun, and shot, I think he shot 7 people, killing 3 of them.
Yes.
So if you ever hear absolutely not.
Oh, you are
I'm so glad
that you didn't decide that one time that you were going to override.
Oh, yeah. I want to you know, get some cheap gas.
Oh, that
they're
is
call
awful.
Me.
Oh, my
they're
God.
Hilarious.
I'm so glad you listened. And again, I mean, how many people would have thought, well, I need gas. I need it. You know,
yeah,
the need,
you know,
would have overridden the... Oh, my
God.
You
don't need it that bad.
Oh, that is... And then you start thinking, you know, what if I would have been there? Don't bother. But see, you're lucky that you get the absolutely not.
Well, I get it pretty strongly. I mean,
you know,
people make fun of me because they say that, you know, I have voices in my head and everything like that. But it's not really voices, as you know. It's strong thoughts. And
right. But you're lucky because I think most people get, well, maybe... shouldn't. You know, it's more of a, and so you get to question it a lot more. If I ever felt that absolutely not, oh, I'm going to listen.
Yeah, well, you know, it may be that you've never almost walked into a situation like that.
Yeah.
They don't happen very often, obviously.
Right.
You know, so, maybe the absolutely not is reserved for that.
But I think, you might even get those thinking about a career shift or a relationship or... you know, even meeting someone new where you get that feeling of bad person, you know, back away from someone who's going to rip you off or, you know, cause you harm. And we really ignore it because we want to please other people. We want to be friendly and be liked. And so many times I've heard of friends and people that I know who met someone, either business or romantic, and had that gut feeling that maybe there was something wrong and just went through it anyway and ended up suffering for it.
Well, I think what's important when you go into a new situation is not to have predetermined expectations.
Right.
There's learning lessons in every relationship, okay? There really are.
Yeah, and they may not be fun.
you know, you get disappointed, you get hurt because of certain expectations. But if you're able to have the mental discipline not to have expectations, I think that you get hurt a lot less.
Yeah.
And you can just partake of the lessons. But absolutely, I mean, when there's true danger, like someone's trying to kill you or hurt you, you do need to back off. But, you know, I probably make my spiritual protection team a little crazy sometimes because I think we're here to experience things. And so to always act in... I don't know, in fear or in, you know, in caution. I think you miss out on a lot of opportunities.
Right, because actually that's an expectation in and of itself. You're expecting something bad to happen.
Exactly.
You go
exactly.
in with your defenses up and you need to go in open, but if you get that
feeling, I go in with a sense of, gee, I've got a great spiritual protection team, so I'm going to be okay.
Right, because you're going to get that absolutely not.
And so everybody in my life goes, oh my God, she's such a cowboy.
You're lucky.
You know?
But I
have
to believe that is an ability that anybody can develop. You know, we say, oh, you're so lucky, and yet at the same time,
I'm a double sad, so I'm extremely lucky.
I do feel like everybody has the ability to have a strong intuitive side to them, but then you have people that are very analytical, and they're always going to override that side of themselves. It's just, I don't believe in that. No. If my brain, if I don't see it, if I can't knock on it, it's not there.
Yeah, it reminds me of a T-shirt that I saw, and it said, I didn't believe in reincarnation in my last life either.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Isn't that good? or my personal favorite is, I hear voices and they don't like you.
Back away. You are an absolutely not. I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to try to listen for the absolutely not more often. And then now I would also assume that you get absolutelys when something is good, that maybe a new opportunity,
oh, yeah.
you know.
There's bright lights all around. Go that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, again, get slipped up on that part of it, too, that the risk-taking and what do I do with my life and not listening to the inner inspirations and urges because they may not make sense to them. I've got this full-time job. I hate it, but I keep getting these urges to go become a professional gardener, whatever.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you keep ignoring it, and chances are you might have been a really good professional gardener.
That's true. That's true, because these are things that you do have to step out, and I call them tests of faith. You know, it's almost like, damn, another test of faith.
Yeah. when will I get to the point where I'm done?
It's like, so often I'm like, jeez.
When can we be done?
Yeah, right. Can't we take us out of the oven.
We are cooked. But it is. I guess it's constant learning, constant improving.
That's what I think. I think we challenge ourselves, and then it's almost like, yes, you pass one grade, but then you've got the next grade. If you look at people like Sai Baba and some of the great spiritual leaders, I mean, they've had assassination attempts. They've had, their lives are Dalai Lama having to sneak out of Tibet. You read these stories, you realize that just because you're a really advanced spiritual leader doesn't mean that your life is easy.
Exactly. You may become a target for
Look
even more people. Yeah,
not
the people
really,
that are
really that good.
In that fear and resistance, they become
Their lifestyles aren't what you think they would be. I mean, you know, many, many things are not there. And so what I think is that, you know, you have certain tests that, and certain curricula. You know, the Course in Miracles said the time you take is up to you, but the curricula is the same for all of us. So the curricula, it gets harder as you get more advanced, not easier.
Right.
And but you have more skills, so it doesn't appear harder. How's that? I mean,
yeah,
you know, 11th grade wasn't really that much different than 8th grade.
No.
But, you know, you have more skills.
But and then again, too, if you didn't quite do well in the 9th grade, you might have had to go back and repeat the 8th grade.
That's right. Well,
so it's like three steps forward, two steps back. And
The time you take is up to you.
Right, exactly.
You can
take many lifetimes
to
graduate.
many lifetimes if you want.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're nowhere near graduation in terms of what is possible for humanity, but I think we're a heck of a lot closer than we were before. I mean, look at the Dark Ages, and we don't want to go back there.
I think it has a lot to do with what's happening with the Earth. And it might not just be the Earth. It might actually be the solar system.
Right.
That there is an actual spiritual, and it's kind of like an upward turn on the spiritual spiral upward that is a graduation point for more than just us. It might be planetary. It might even be the whole solar system. So we have to understand that, that we probably do know what's going to happen at some level, and it's probably going to be just fine. That's what I tell people. It's going to be just fine. It's going to be, you know, just like being born, dying, you know, going through this major shift that's coming up. It's all fine. It's not anything to be frightened of. But you have to have a great deal of faith to get through it without being not injured, but you know, kind of hurt and have things unpleasant for you.
Well, and don't you also think that we anticipate more fearful experiences than they may actually be? So that expectation and anticipation that, oh, it's going to be so awful, so hard, that may become your reality if you keep putting your energy into that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that when you don't know, that's the time to really start developing your intuitive sense, your spiritual protection team, your ability to get information in ways other than the computer and the TV. You know, these are important.
Right.
These are important survival skills for what's coming up.
That's another thing, too. I think a lot of people are turning now towards thinking about ways to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that are doing the farming and, you know, buying a piece of land and
storing
water. Yeah,
well, that's a good idea with genetically modified foods, even if there wasn't a shift coming up.
Right, I know. Growing your own foods and just feeling, even if, you know, you can't survive 20 years, but just feeling like you have a little bit of control over
mm-hmm.
your own sustainability. And
well,
I think we need to do that mentally and emotionally, too.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I mean, my parents both grew up on farms. Now, we haven't been unsustainable that long.
Right.
I mean, think about it. We really haven't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's only a couple hundred years at the most that we've lost that sustainability.
Yeah.
So that's like a glitch in
time.
In history. Right. So maybe it's just an adjustment back to the way it's safe. You know, I mean, it seems to me it's much safer to have your own food than not have your own food.
Right, or to have more local farms and more of
right.
that rather than these factory farms and depending on large corporations to decide whether or not we're going to eat or get fresh drinking
yeah.
water. And we've just given up because I don't like to think that it's because humans are lazy. I really think a lot of it is just the way that we are so absorbed in technology and information
mm-hmm.
and we've become distracted from the understanding that we're giving our power away to
There's an interview I did with an environmental attorney who wrote a book called Uncertain Peril, something about the future of seeds. And she said, this is true from biology, say there's only 3 kinds of corn rather than, you know, 300 kinds.
Right.
And there's a blight, you're going to have mass starvation.
Exactly.
So this idea of genetically modifying things because they're taking over, I mean, they can't contain the genetically modified stuff. And so anything where everything's centralized, and even, that's why the U.S. government tries to break up monopolies, because anything that is totally centralized, if that goes down, then people don't have it.
Exactly. That's very scary.
And so it's not safe to have just one telephone company.
Right. Right.
You know, or just
competition
one
can be a good thing.
Well, no, it is. It's just not safe. I mean, and plus it's economically not good for, you know, competition either.
Exactly.
But that's less of a problem than if something within that company fails and that company crumbles, then it threatens the security of your nation, you know, safety of your nation.
Right. It's like these small towns, and it breaks my heart, where their entire existence is around one company, say it's
yeah.
a Ford Motor Company.
That company closes.
Oh, and the town
yeah.
is like a ghost
town.
And
the town suffers, yeah.
I know that, you know, it's hard to just pop up a new business and create a lot of jobs, but you're right, where you focus on just one entity, if that entity
mm-hmm.
crumbles, you find yourself completely helpless. So the more choices that we have, organic farming, we have, you know,
yeah.
our own food that we grow on our land,
mm-hmm.
we have more competition in the marketplace, so that if ConAgra goes under, which they
right.
never will,
yeah.
We don't all suffer for it. And
that's
also,
exactly.
if they decide to just genetically modify everything we eat, we can
mm-hmm.
say, no, we're going to go make this choice over here, sorry.
Well, that's really the answer. I've interviewed a lot of people in genetically modified foods and trans fats and everything. And the bottom line is, it's the consumer in the grocery, shelf choice that
right.
determines who does what. So, you know, as consumers, we really need to realize that we have the ultimate power.
We do, and we give it up so easily. And a lot of times, I think people do that for economic reasons. They can't afford
they
the better stuff, or they can't afford the organic stuff.
But then can they afford their medical bills when
exactly.
they can have a heart attack?
Yes, you know, not thinking in the long
you know,
term.
It's,
true. It's
yeah.
thinking what is going to be best for me today with my paycheck and not
right.
thinking in the long term. And I think if we collectively started to think more long term, there would not be so much danger to the planet, to our mm-hmm. food sources. If water becomes privatized, we are all in big trouble.
Yeah,
and I think
it's becoming privatized.
Yeah, we have
it
to
is.
Think ahead. You know, the Native Americans always said, think 2 generations ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so focused on what's happening to us.
Right.
You know, we can barely get by ourselves. How can we possibly think about what our grandkids are going to have to put up with?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's such a short-sighted way to think.
Well, would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. I've got two websites, www.mariedjones.com, and my website with Larry Flaxman is www.paraexplorers, that's P-A-R-A, paraexplorers.com. And all kinds of information on there about what I'm doing, what we're doing together, what's coming up.
And I know we interviewed you on one of your later books. Do you want to mention that one and then any other books that you want to mention?
I think, did we talk about the Deja Vu Enigma?
Yeah, the Deja Vu.
Okay.
We
just had a book come out a couple of months ago called The Trinity Secret, The Power of Three and the Code of Creation.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was
We'll have to do that one.
I would love to because, you know, it's funny, we were talking about threes before, when we wrote 1111, we kept seeing, wait a second, the number three is so profound. Why, in all these different religions and in mythology and here... So we ended up writing a book about it. We're currently at work together on a book about time travel, which would be really interesting.
I'd love that.
Yeah, and I've got a book coming out in August called Destiny versus Choice, Scientific and Spiritual Evidence Behind Fate and Free Will.
That's wonderful. I want to hear you on that, too.
Absolutely. Oh, I always have such a great time on here, so I will come back anytime.
You're interested in what I'm interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. We have good conversations.
Hopefully
people that are listening get something out of it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you about Dr. Close. It's C-L-O-S-E. Doctor, PhD, they're physicists, have come up with something called the theory of everything, which you know about.
Right.
But this one actually is very interesting. And he wrote a book called Transcendental Physics, but they're working right now, and they sent me a paper on the proof of the theory of everything, which is what you need, of course.
Oh, yes.
So that's something that you ought to review.
Absolutely.
Because I know that you talked a lot of it. We didn't get into a lot of the details, but there's a whole section in 1111, the time prompt phenomenon, on the theory of everything. Because,
right,
of course, mathematics is very central to proving the theory of everything.
Absolutely. No, it's one of my favorite subjects.
Well, you've got to read this, because this, in my opinion, and I've interviewed everybody, I mean, Laszlo, you know, I mean, just everybody involved in consciousness research. The theory of everything that Close and his colleague, I don't remember his name, unfortunately, are doing is something that is well worth looking at.
Oh, absolutely. I love the idea that the area of physics is where we're combining the spiritual, you know, metaphysics. Obviously, we've known that for years, those of us that have been in the metaphysical community.
Right.
But the more scientific-oriented are now able to say, okay, a lot of these physicists are talking about this stuff. What is up? And so they're being introduced to the concepts that spiritual and metaphysicians have been exposed to all these years, and now it's like okay and acceptable because you've got scientists talking about it.
Yeah, and actually, you know, with superstring theory, I interviewed Maku Kichu before he was on TV.
Right.
And then so famous. The superstring and the quantum together, I've interviewed Amit Goswami many times, you put those two together and you really do have what the metaphysical traditions have predicted in terms of dimensions.
Exactly.
And, you know, 23 collapsing into a smaller number and all of that. All of that is in the physics theories.
Right.
And, you know, the last thing for physics to do is the theory of everything. I mean, it really is. That's the holy grail. That's right. And
but,
I'm so excited that, you know, they're getting closer, I think.
I think so, too. And I really think that part of that was so many of them opening themselves to looking at the consciousness angle and not just stick to the hard, provable science. I think once that opened up, and I don't, you know, what the bleep do we know, that time period, but even before then, there were people that were starting to open up to it, and now it's just sort of exploding towards, like you said, I think something is going to be discovered.
So here's my prediction, okay? As soon as we figure out mathematically and theorem-wise and everything, the theory of everything, then we shift and we start in another school.
There you go.
Shift out of time space. No, really, why wouldn't it be like that?
Right, well, yeah.
Seriously.
Because then we would be able to accept it on every level of our being, the intellectual, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, you know, the soul level.
Yeah, because it's proven, you know.
Exactly.
So I think they're going to prove it about 12, 21.
Well, hey, what do you think? Next year or sometime?
Maybe so. Maybe this year. future. I don't know. Maybe they're a little ahead of their time, you know.
Well, and with the collider, the Large Hadron Collider, who knows? They might find something, some God particle or something that will.
Oh, I know. You know what they're supposed to find there? Honestly, you need to research this. They said that when they do that, they're going to cross two singularities and they're going to discover time travel.
They better, because they better do it in time for my book.
Yeah, well, you need to read John Titor, T-I-T-O-R.
T-I-T-O-R, okay.
Yeah, it's a bunch of information that is on the Internet. He was a time traveler coming in from 2023, and he has pictures of the time machines and the physics behind it. He's not a physicist. He's a historian, and he was sent back to get an IBM chip that they needed, that they were, I don't know why they needed it, but he was sent back because his grandfather developed it. But anyway, according to Titor, they crossed two singularities and developed time travel.
Well, like I said, I'd love for them to do it in time. We could have this big launch party.
Well, if all time is simultaneous, you can go back and forth. Wouldn't that be great? It really is.
I don't know if I'd want to go back to the past. I'm done.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Marie Jones, who is the co-author, along with Larry Flaxman, of 1111, The Time Prop Phenomena, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. And next week, we will have on the editors of Biochemical Imbalances and Disease. And then on the 30th, we're talking with Dr. Bruce Goldberg, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, Parallel Universes,
Ooh.
Teleportation, and Out-of-Body Travel. There you go. That should interest you,
right? Absolutely.
It's an e-book, by the way. I had to buy a Kindle so I could put all the e-books in. They don't even have books anymore. Send me the book.
It's changing.
Yeah. And then we've got a great Noetic Science meeting this week. Leigh Culver will be discussing UFOs, extra biological entities, and their interaction with human beings at 7:30 at the Dunwoody office, April 21st. And I want to remind everybody that the FBI document was released this week. Acknowledging Roswell and saying that it probably occurred because of the radar installations at Roswell, which interfered with the crafts. And remember now, the crafts are coming in from time-space into space-time, and then if you do certain things electromagnetically, they may crash. And that was released, and I actually printed it out because one of my friends said they kind of swept it off the Internet within a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was inadvertently released.
Oh,
but it's a letter.
Yeah,
the names are redacted.
Printed it out.
The names are redacted. This is the first true disclosure. Now, I was in the Air Force. I was a major in the Air Force at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Oh, wow.
I kept running into people who had seen aliens, you know, either dead or live bodies, and they had no reason to lie to me. And
right.
It turns out, right, Pat? So later on, they tried, because when they found out they could do this, they did the same radar stuff and got a lot of things to crash, and they took them all to Wright Pat, evidently, if you believe the UFO files. So isn't it great disclosure is finally coming about, and it's an exciting time to be alive.
Yes, interesting times.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I will have Sherry get in touch with you for the other
Absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.